Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 22 says, "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" You know the definition of faith. I've said it time and time again. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. So reflecting on this passage, a Canaanite. You know how much baggage is in that? A Canaanite? This is the people who were driven out of the Holy Land when God brought Israel in. And the reason why is in part because they were worshiping, oh, list them here, Molech, Dagon, Chemosh, Baal, and on, whose worship involved human sacrifice, including, how bad can it get? Including child sacrifice, their own children. And the Bible says what they were worshiping was demons. That's the Canaanites. A Canaanite woman comes out to pray. You ever watch somebody living their lives out and they begin to go the wrong direction and you're thinking, oh, there's another shoe going to drop here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And they keep on persisting and finally it happens. And you say to yourself, saw that coming. How many could have said the same thing about us? Oh, the way they're living. Oh, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. So she's a Canaanite. And there are sermons that have started by being built up on this, that being of the people that offered their children to demons, why it's no surprise that then she is bearing the consequences and her child is oppressed by a demon. What right does she have? What right? None. What is faith? Faith is to believe the words and promises of God, and she, a Canaanite woman, sees that there are promises. There are promises to be had. There are promises to grab a hold of. She comes to Jesus. Oh, which promises? Well, maybe the one to Abraham, "In you and in your seed all nations shall be blessed." Or the one in the Old Testament reading, Isaiah 56, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Or maybe the promise embedded in the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, that God would hear the prayer of the foreigner. But she has heard of the promises and seen how the promises have come to others. And so she is going to go and she is going to believe those promises and grab a hold of those promises and not let go of those promises, because faith is to believe the words and promises of God. But here comes the second part. Where exactly, how exactly do the promises come to us? The simple answer is in Jesus, the Son of God. And I was sitting there in the study, looking at this text, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, and suddenly looked at it again. What exactly did God do to give the promises to us? He sacrificed his son. With all the twisting of religion that has gone wrong, he takes and brings it back and mirrors it in his sacrifice to make everything right. There's, in the background of all of this, there's Abraham and Isaac and Mount Moriah. You know the story. Abraham, go to the mountain that I will show you, and there offer up your son Isaac as a burnt offering. What? And the third day comes, and they're going up the mountain, and Isaac turns to Abraham, and, Father, where's the lamb? Well, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. They get to the top, and Abraham builds the altar, ties up his son Isaac, puts him on the altar, reaches out to take the knife, and God says, no farther. You brought your son to this mountain. You gave the picture. What you started, I will finish. You're not the father allowed to sacrifice your son here. There's only one father allowed to sacrifice his son here. It's not Abraham, it's God the Father. Only one son to be sacrificed there. It's not Isaac. It is Jesus, the Son of God. And on that day, Abraham then looks up and sees a ram caught in the thicket. That's the substitute for that day. The real substitute was coming along much later. For God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's astonishing. It's breathtaking. It's like God looking at our sin and saying, yeah, I'll meet you there. With all of the sins, even the most horrible of all of them, I'll meet you there. And there at my mountain, I will carry them, and I will take the full measure of your evil into myself, and I will finish what you started. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God, and sometimes we add three more words to that. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God no matter what. And there are times we measure out the no matter what in the things that happen in life and to us and all around us. No matter what. How big is your no matter what today? And we know those days where the no matter what is huge. There's a different way of taking that no matter what. No matter what is inside, no matter what your baggage is, no matter what you have done within your soul and how far into darkness you have wandered at different times. God meets us there. God gives his promises, and the promises have to come to us in the place of darkness, in the place of forsakenness, for the darkness within and the forsakenness in our lives. It has to be there. Hebrews 13 says, outside the camp. And that's calling out Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16 is the Day of Atonement and of the scapegoat and the people through the priest laying their hands on the goat that it might bear the sins of the whole nation and be driven out to die out there in the wilderness. And Jesus goes outside the camp, outside the city of Jerusalem, there to a hill called Calvary, bearing the sins of the people, faith is to believe the words and promises of God. And so the Canaanite woman was coming to Jesus. She's coming and claiming the promises that God had given, claiming the love and care that God had promised. And on the basis of those things, she was asking a favor. I'm sure you noticed that Jesus didn't answer right away. Three times. First time, he did not answer her a word. Second time, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Third time, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And yet, what Jesus was doing was getting everything else out of the way so that all that is left is the words and promises of God. Nothing else. No claim in yourself, no claim in your goodness, no claim in the good works you've done, no claim by your sincerity, nothing. Just the words and promises of God. And in that way, he sharpens her faith. She's going to ask. She's going to ask again. She's going to ask again. And that third time, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. See, she will have those promises. Nothing is going to turn her back because faith is believing the words and promises of God. Period. And then having sharpened her faith, having put it through the strengthening, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter is instantly healed. So it is with our lives. Times of waiting, times of heaven seeming to be closed to our prayers, and yet what is going on is push everything else to the side. All there is the words and promises of God. And those are as eternal as Jesus. And then you ask, who is this that would teach faith in that way? It seems outrageous. Who is this that would teach faith in that way? Well, this is the one who had to hold on to the words and promises of God in the face of everything. He sets his face to Jerusalem, and he will be rejected, brutalized, and bloodied, and hang on the cross. And there his father will turn his back and reject him, and the only thing left will be the words and promises of God. But he grabs a hold of them and prays, Father, and my God, and Father. He's the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is our Jesus. And he knows faith inside and out, backwards and forwards, and knows when to speak exactly the right word into our hearts. This is our Jesus, who watches over and holds us in that faith. In his name, amen.